TSN 690 SportsCenter.
There's no question that I think that Mark is very capable of accomplishing that, but he and I both know that this season's been unsatisfactory.
If you are sensitive to head trauma, which clearly he is, why would you want to risk that in a meaningless game? I want him 100% totally recovered, rest and rehabilitated, so that when next year comes, my MT, my meal ticket, is ready to rock. I want to get through this season. I want my guys to develop, but I don't need to develop Carey Price. I know how good he is.
For me personally, it's all about whether we're in the playoffs or not, trying to take care of my head and get back in before the end of the year.
You know, if I look at his experience in the business of hockey, starting back to when he was with Chicago, he's had a lot of success building a successful team in Chicago. I think he's probably one of the better evaluators of talent out there. And he's somebody who really understands how to build a hockey team.
Welcome back. All right, for real now. Welcome back. It is Melnick in the afternoon. Special edition at Hurley's Irish Pub at 1225 Crescent Street. Mitch Melnick along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Sean Gordon is here. Connor McKenna is here hanging around. Jeff Molson, as you just heard, is here and has been on the show. Mitch Garber is here.
Yes.
It's great to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
It's like Melnick and Garber, or was it Garber and Melnick?
Then it was Melnick and Garber.
That was Jeff Molson. The voices you heard, Jeff Molson from this morning, when for the first time since it was obvious that Mark Bergeron was returning as GM, he took questions from members of the media at an event involving some Belgian royalty visiting Montreal. Pierre, yesterday on why he wouldn't play Carey Price. Carey Price today traveling to Toronto and wants to play before the end of the season. And Jeff Molson, when we asked him specifically, really the only question about Jeff Mark Bergeron that we could ask today, considering the circumstances here, was why he thought Mark Bergeron should be back returning as the general manager. Now we talk to Pierre.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
It's not every day you get to talk to three Mitches with Garber, Gallo, and Melnick.
That's
not
right.
Every day.
That's right.
Pierre?
Yes?
Where are you?
I'm on the road.
Okay. Where?
I'm in a town in Connecticut.
Okay, just checking. That's not good to hear that, because usually when you're...
No, I'm pulled over to the side. We are locked and loaded. I kind of felt that you were doing a St. Patrick's Day thing, so I wanted to be safe so that I didn't lose contact.
All right, before we, because very often close to home, Pierre, his cell signal drops. Before we get into what was said here today on site and at the Bell Center and in Toronto, I don't know if you're aware of Mitch Garber's latest venture.
Don't waste time on that. Let's get to
what he
says.
You know what's really cool? My wife keeps me apropos of everything Mitch Garber does. She thinks Mitch Garber's God.
She's misled.
All right. So Mitch is going to try to attract investment to this country, basically, right?
That's it, yeah, basically. I'm going to help attract more investment, hopefully.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to deal with NAFTA and everything else.
Yes.
We get that. No, my wife's made me fully aware of everything that Mitch Garber's up to. Trump.
All right, I'm sure there are many of our listeners who aren't aware. And will you get to talk to Trump at some point?
I don't know if I will want to talk to Trump at some point, or if he'll want to talk to me at
or,
some point.
Or when he does talk to you, he'll completely make up what was discussed.
I think what's most important, honestly, is that what we're doing is going to survive Trump and the current Canadian government and the current Canadian ministers and me. We're building an agency to attract foreign investment for the next 50 years into Canada. So, Trump will come and go, and hopefully this won't.
You see, Mitch Melnick, that's enlightened thinking. Because everybody thinks it's always about them. It's actually about long-term sustainability. That's why Mitch Garber's so smart. He gets it.
Well, if you need any help in that regard, you know where to.
Absolutely.
Find me. You know where to find me.
Well,
1225 Crescent Street. All right. You want it? Let's go to Carey Price first, because I think we're going to spend a little more time talking about Jeff Molson and Mark Bergevin. The fact that Carey Price is traveling with the team, he's practicing with the team, he himself says he wants to play. If you stood face-to-face with him, what would you tell him?
I'd say to him, do you want to play in meaningless games or do you want to try to win the cup? Because you're not winning the cup this year and you're not playing in Stanley Cup playoff games this year. So what's your ultimate goal? Your ultimate goal is to win the cup. How are we going to get you there? We're going to get you there because you're going to be 100%, and next year you're going to protect us from all the different problems that we may have because we're going to be a young building team. So we need you 100%. This year is a write-off. And if anybody that's running that team tells him that this year is not a write-off, then they are lying to him.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that, Pierre. I think it's his own internal competitive instinct that wants to finish.
Yeah, well, save the player from himself. They're all competitive. Why do you think they got to where they are? They're competitive as all get-out. But sometimes when you have to make decisions, they're not always popular, but you have to stand up and tell the guy, listen, I need you next year. I don't need you now. Right now is over. I need you next year.
Well, what are the odds of him suffering another injury in the last game or two that he might play that would affect him next season?
I don't know. Ask Mike Babcock what happened with Freddie Anderson the other day. Why don't you ask Bruce Boudreau what happened with Jared Spurgeon the other night in Minnesota? What were the odds of that happening? It never happened before.
Yeah, but those are playoff-bound teams.
Crazy.
He's got a longer period of time to recuperate if, in fact, he gets seriously hurt again.
Well, why would you even risk that? Why would you do that?
Anybody want to pick up on this?
Yeah, I'll pick up on it. One thing you can say about the Canadians, between Dr. Mulder and now Dr. Deckelbaum, that team has probably got the best medical staff of any professional sports franchise. He's not.
Oh, you don't know that.
I do know that.
That's hyperbole. It's easy to say.
Dr. Mulder.
I have great respect for one of the most respected doctors
in all of North America. Dan Deckelbaum is a trauma surgeon trained in Israel. The guy's incredible. And what I'm saying to you is that if they clear him to play and they tell him there's no difference between you being perfectly healthy to play and the way you are right now, then he would probably play.
Let me ask you this, Mitch Garber, because we agree on the medical situation in Montreal. So a guy from another team happens to run close to the crease at 35 miles an hour and runs him over in a meaningless game.
That's not the point.
And he tears his ACL.
So just answer this one question.
So how are the doctors going to legislate against that?
Just answer this one question. If Carey Price was perfectly healthy, you would sit him for the rest of the season. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because okay. All right. games,
okay.
They mean nothing to me.
All right.
They mean zero to me. I don't need to evaluate Carey Price, Mitch. I need to evaluate other players in the team. I don't need to evaluate him. I know how good he is. That's why I gave him the contract that I gave him. If I'm the owner of the Montreal Canadiens, I didn't sign off on signing him to almost a $100 million deal because I didn't know how good he was. I know how good he is.
Hey, Pierre, it's Sean Gordon here. I had a question, like, as far as the statement value of sitting down a Carey Price to show that you're going to err on the side of caution when it comes to head injuries, right? To say concussions, when you have one, you're more susceptible to having more. You're susceptible to having others, and it's going to get worse. You can recover from brain injuries, but the more of them that you have, the less chance you have that you're not going to be affected by each subsequent one. And if the Habs were to say, Carey is not going to play the rest of the year. He's not happy about it. In fact, he's angry about it. But we're not letting him out there. We're not going to do this. And here's why. The head is too important. We need to err on the side of caution. We have to save players from themselves. What is the value of that, do you think, around the league?
Well, I don't know about around the league, but I know what it would mean to their season ticket holders because you would be giving a transparent message. You know what's interesting? I would defy anybody to tell me how Mike Richter's career ended. A slap shot from center ice off the stick of Chris Tamer in an Atlanta Thrashers-New York Rangers game. That's how the man's career ended. So you don't think guys can hit Carey Price in the head from center ice with a slap shot harder than Chris Tamer's today?
I mean, yeah, but they could do that. They could do that in October or January.
Well, that's fine. So why? That's when the games matter. They don't matter now. You're out of the playoffs. Why would you risk this? This is insanity.
It's an interesting question because you don't take Tom Brady out when the team's up by 28 points, right? He does not come out of the game.
Even if it's 38 points, he wasn't coming out.
No, he never comes out. They never say, you know what, why risk him getting sacked and break his collarbone? We're up 30 points. They just don't do that.
Well, what about the opposition? I mean, the league wouldn't like, if you've got a healthy Carey Price, Pierre, and Claude Julien says, we're not going to use him, or Mark Bergevin says, we're not going to use him, you're playing the Penguins, who are worried about their place in the standings, or the Capitals, or the Devils, or any other team. You're talking about the integrity of the game then, wouldn't you be?
That ship sailed a long time ago. Please, don't go there.
No, that's... I'm with Pierre on this one.
Listen, that ship sailed last Sunday in Chicago versus Boston when Marchand was told not to play. Please, let's not go down that road. Come on.
Gallo, you want to weigh in here? You haven't yet. I know you're enjoying this, but...
Yeah, but I'm on the same page as Pierre. Like, the games are meaningless. I don't know one person that has told me a logical reason to play.
All right,
let me
ask you this and end this, and I'll try to make one logical point. Whether I actually believe it or not, let me make the point. If you polled everybody, their next home game is when? When's their Habs next home game?
Monday night.
You poll 20,000 people walking in. Would you like to see Antti Niemi, Charlie Lindgren, or Carey Price play tonight after you spent a few $100s? What do you think they'd say?
You're talking about the fans?
Yes.
The fans would want to see Carey Price.
That's the only people they play for. The fans are paying $400 for a pair of decent tickets to watch a crummy game, and they want to see Carey Price, who's... How much does he make a year? $9 million? I don't know what he makes. $10 million? What does he make?
That's next year.
All right.
But if that's the logic, let's play Carey Price for 82 games next year because...
Well,
the fans...
he does play most of the home games, actually.
He doesn't play all 82.
But hold on. We're talking about people's heads here. We're talking about their brains.
Pierre said if he was totally healthy, he would sit him. It's not about his head. I agree with that. If his head's in any way in jeopardy, I wouldn't play him. But Pierre was saying, even healthy...
Yeah, but if the greatest doctors that you believe are better than any team in the league are saying it's okay to play...
I don't know if they've said that.
All right. Pierre, what about the point about what the fans would like to see? Just on that, and then we'll move.
I'm on the fan side, but here's the deal. You want to see him in a meaningless game in the month of March? And maybe jeopardize never seeing him play again at a high level? Or would you rather see him play at a high level in games that actually mean something? That's a question I would care about for the fans. I care more about the fans than anything, because without the fans, we don't have a league.
Okay,
so matter more than anything else.
Let me get to Jeff Molson for the first time, going a little more in-depth until the end of season presser on why he's bringing Mark Bergevin back. And he dropped this word a couple times we're about to hear, and maybe you can help us out on what he means by it. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you know, those words to me don't mean much. I look at the best team in the National Hockey League right now didn't make the playoffs last year, right? And so, did they rebuild? Did they refresh? Whatever they did, for me, we got to get better. That's the way I think about it, and we are going to get better. And we're going to do it through the draft. We're going to do it with our current players. We're going to do it by making adjustments to our organization. And I think we have the right guy in place to be able to do that.
Okay. So in defense of Mark Bergevin, he also added, we are going to make adjustments to our organization. That, to me, is not player-related. What does it mean to you?
That means that somebody on the coaching staff may be replaced. Not saying the head coach, but it sounds like there's going to be potential coaching changes. Sounds like there might be amateur drafting changes. There might be pro scouting changes. If what he said is to be held as true, and I believe him because he's an honorable person, then they're going to be significant changes. I believe that based on what he just said. I did not know he said that until I just heard the soundbite.
Anybody want to pick up on that? I mean,
if I were Jeff, I wouldn't make any commitment about next year. I would wait for the season to end, and I would sit tight April, May, and make decisions quite quietly. I wouldn't say anything.
Why not?
Well, because I agree. Mitch Garber and I agree on that. I've told you that a million times, Mitch Melnick. I agree with Mitch Garber 100%.
Because you don't need to commit to Mark Bergevin. You don't need to commit to anybody.
But he did. But he already did.
But you don't need to. You don't need to. Why commit? You don't need to commit. Sit tight. You're paid season by season.
But it's too late.
Why?
Because he already did publicly.
Okay, so
three times now he's and
well,
he
Trump,
was pretty
Trump
forceful.
Trump does it a lot. He says, "I'm not replacing this guy," and then the next day the guy's replaced. But look,
are you comparing Jeff Molson to Donald Trump?
No, I'm saying that I wouldn't tie my hands until I had a real chance to sit back after a long bad season to make decisions. That's what I would do. but I don't own a team. So.
Well, we're getting, you know, there isn't a whole lot of downtime between the end of the regular season and preparation for the draft, Pierre, right? I mean.
Oh, yes, there is. There's tons of time. There's over 2.5 months. That's plenty of time. You're not changing your decision makers. That being said, I have no axe to grind with anything Jeff Molson said, but I'm more in the camp of Mitch Garber. Why do you need to say anything? You've got a general manager that's under contract more than 1 year. You don't need to say anything. He's our general manager. We're moving forward. That's it. That's all. Let's go.
All right. Then is it possible that what he is saying is strictly for public consumption and that he might
eventually do something different? No, because what he just said was pretty firm. And once you break what was firm, then you've got credibility issues, and he can't afford to have credibility issues. So he said he was endorsing the general manager, but there were going to be other changes in the organization. Based on the soundbite that you played me, I have not spoken to Jeff about this at all. I have not. So based on the soundbite that you played me, there are going to be other changes within the organization, but it won't be at the manager's position.
Yeah, that's how I read it without knowing. I'm just speculating. Rob?
Well, and presumably it'll be someone who's going to be reporting to Mark Bergevin, but will be challenging Mark Bergevin. Now, I don't want to speculate about someone's job, but let's say, hypothetically, Rick Dudley were to be relieved of his duties. On one hand, you could look at it and say, well, in that case, it's all Rick Dudley's fault. But someone has to be held accountable. Something has to change because of what happened this year beyond just pointed injuries.
Well, I don't know what to say to that except to say that I've known Rick a long time, and he's a hardworking man. That's all I can tell you. He's a hardworking man. I haven't been in any of their meetings, so I don't know who the decision maker is behind closed doors. Because I can tell you, perception is not always reality. Mitch Garber can speak to that as well, I believe. When you're in big meetings, sometimes the loudest voice isn't always the key decision maker.
We talked about this on the scrum, which is going to be replayed in its entirety between 6 and 7. We have somebody, we have one of the smartest business people in the country sitting right here. How much is there high-level, important meetings with a lot at stake of organizations that you've been a part of? What is it like when you have... It's not people deferring to you. You have the last say. But what is it like in there when you...
I've never had people deferring to me, actually. I've always had really strong people around me, people who could take my job, who could challenge me for my job, who have as high or higher education, more and different experience than I've had. And I've tried to build consensus with them and make great decisions together as a unit. I also know that people who looked at my business from the outside never truly understood what was going on the inside, even though they thought they did, and they wrote articles about the business. And I think we do the same thing on the radio. You know, we talk about hockey, we talk about Dudley or Julien or Jeff or Bergevin, but we don't know. We don't know whose ideas were which ideas were shot down, which ideas were never taken seriously, what player was available and they didn't get him, what player they wanted to trade and they couldn't have done it, what player was injured and that's why the other team didn't want them. So many things could go on that we don't know, and Jeff knows them all. So I have to defer to Jeff because I respect him and I think he's a smart guy.
So my question, Pierre, is we know and we've spoken about it, the two biggest organizational flaws right now for the Canadiens, center ice and young impact players. After meeting with Jeff Molson, how did Bergevin convince him that he can address those two organizational flaws? And is it possible to address those two flaws this summer in a short amount of time?
Well, you can address them, but it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight, number one. Number two, Mitch Garber just echoed everything I just said. And number three, and this is really important, the amateur draft will sow some seeds, but it's not going to give you huge success overnight. It's just not. That's not how it works in the NHL. I'm just telling you right now. You might get, if you hit three players out of every draft within 3 years of them being drafted, you've hit home runs, major home runs. And most teams don't do that. So it's really hard. It's very, very difficult.
All right. Go ahead. Very quickly, Sean.
Pierre, you've been in organizations that were a bit more tumultuous than others, some that had a lot of continuity. What's the value of continuity in today's NHL? I mean, I know that, you know, the team that's been here has been here for 6 years now or going on seven. What's the benefit of keeping the same faces around in an organization? even when things
are beneficial as long as the message is being workable, and people are paying attention to what you're doing internally. Coaches sometimes lose a little bit of luster in the dressing room. Coaching is different than managerial situations. Sometimes a manager has to make tough decisions and fire a coach. Serge Savard had a fire Pat Byrne. He didn't want to, but he had to. Cliff Fletcher had to fire Pat Burns. He didn't want to, but he had to. You know, so, I mean, Pat was an amazing coach, but sometimes coaches wear out their welcome. That's just the reality of it. Managers don't always wear out their welcome, but managers have to be surrounded. And this is where Mitch Garber was wise, very wise. Managers have to surround themselves with opinion makers and guys that aren't afraid to lay it on the line. And you can't have people that are going to be intimidated by strong opinion. And if you do, then you're not going to be a successful manager. You're not going to be a successful president. You're not going to be successful as an organization. The best organizations, and Disney was one of them for the longest time, had creative conflict every single day in their front office. You got to have that. Doesn't leave the office, but you got to have it.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, if we're judging from the outside and we're not on the inside, so Jeff Molson, in the time that he's been the owner of the team, the value of the team has almost doubled.
At least, the TV contract, and all.
Okay, so as a stock, Jeff Molson has doubled. In the time that Mark Bergevin has been here, if we were honest about his stock, if it was trading at $3.50 when he started as the GM of the Canadiens, what's it at now? What's the stock at now? If it was $3.50 when he got here, what do you think the stock's trading at today?
Much higher.
Mark Bergevin?
No, sorry. I thought you meant the team.
No.
No, Bergevin, no. His value is a penny stock.
What's it? So
it's diminishing.
Okay, so that's the way I look at it. I see everything in a business sense. Everyone's judged on what they have returned on the investment that we've made over the time that they've been there.
And that also affects the brand. It's not a word I like, but I acknowledge that it's out there.
Well, it goes back to Pierre's original point, which I don't even know if I agree or disagree with it. I do know this, that, you know, there's a father-son or a mother-daughter or a mother-son that, you know, have a pair of tickets for a game on Monday night, and it might be the only game they can afford to go to in their lifetime. And they want to see a guy who's being paid $6.5 million a year, who's the most popular player on the team since probably Guy Lafleur. They want to see him play, and if he's healthy, he should probably play. And so the brand and the fans are the most important thing that we have going for us.
All right. I just want to throw one more up here. Pierre, I don't know if you had a chance to read Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic today.
Is that the one from Chris Stevenson or about
no.
John Tavares?
No, the Chris Stevenson
Tavares?
Is it? Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep dreaming. Sign and trade. It's a great column. It's well written. It's really smart.
Well, he didn't mention the Canadiens specifically. He was just the concept, the possibility.
Yeah, no.
Because of the eighth year that he normally wouldn't get other than if he re-signed with the
right.
Islanders.
Because of collective bargaining. So let me ask you a simple question.
Yeah.
What package, I'll ask you the reverse side, what package could the Canadiens pay to the Islanders that would be worth more than, let's say, Toronto's package or Tampa's package or New Jersey package? What could the Canadiens
higher draft choices? Higher draft choices.
No.
What?
No.
What
no,
do you
these,
mean no?
If you're going out to get John Tavares, you're getting him because you think he's putting your team over the top. So you're not giving up tons of stuff. So what are they going to give up?
Montreal, yeah, but you're talking about a potential unrestricted free agent. If they don't have to re-sign him and trade him, they could lose him for nothing and he walks.
Yeah, if you want to, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just going by what Pierre wrote based on conversations with obviously several executives around the league who believe that the Islanders would be getting maybe a couple of draft choices, high ones. That's it.
You know that the Islanders owners just got back from Europe, so I'm not sure that's even been in the equation, okay?
What does that mean?
They're doing other stuff right now.
He knows more about where Tavares may end up than we do, basically.
Okay.
But Pierre, if they're going to lose him for nothing, you know, wouldn't Garth at least consider trying to get a pick if it's June 28th and he's met with a bunch of teams and Tavares says, "I want to go to this place, but I want 8 years." Like, is it a theoretical possibility?
Yeah,
I just don't think
that's fair. But what happens if the team says, No, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Guess what?
Yeah.
Don't do it, because I want the assets around me.
All right, something to think about.
Let me throw this out there. Mitch Melnick, who did you have on your show that told you Stamkos is not leaving Tampa?
You.
Right. Did you have anybody else?
There are some other people. LeBron never believed he was going to leave Tampa.
Okay. Let me just say this. I was so comfortable in my opinion there because he said to me, and I'll never forget this line that he said. It was awesome. Why would I go somewhere else when I know I'm surrounded with the very best young players and management team I could possibly be surrounded by? Why would I go anywhere else? I want to win. I want to win.
On that note, by the way, and I don't know Carey, I've never even met Carey Price. What is Carey Price thinking as the, you know, the last third of his career comes about him wanting to be in the best position to win a Stanley Cup, not wanting to play an entire career without having won a cup? When does he start thinking about, I better get to a team that has a real chance in the next three seasons of winning a cup?
Well, maybe that's why he wants to play before the end of this season. Maybe he wants his final game as a Hab to be better than the season was.
You really believe that?
No. We're back to the rhetorical questions. Pierre, it's great talking to you. It's always fun to do this with so many people having a chance to engage.
Well, I'm just so happy to have had the chance to talk to Mitch Garber in particular. Yeah. The guy's a living legend.
Stop.
Have a great weekend, Pierre.
Bye, Pierre.
All right. When we come back, Sean Campbell is going to sing Highway to Hell. Mitch, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Make sure you say hi to Jeff Molson.
I'll try. I will. Right. I'm glad he wasn't listening.